Thank you so much, friends at Ark Church in York. Nice to be back with you. Are you encouraged by the video?
Yeah.
You know what an amazing difference it is that you're making around the world, supporting a small group of children through your church partner in Rwanda. Seven whole children whose lives you're transforming with the love of God. What a huge impact you're having on the lives of those children. Put your hand up if you're involved in sponsoring a child. Wow, look at that. I mean, be really encouraged. It doesn't, you know, it really, really massively impacts on these children's lives, their families' lives, their communities' lives, changing whole nations. And what you're doing with these children is you are telling them the truth. We've been talking a lot about truth this morning, and funnily enough, it's what I'm going to talk about as well. You are telling those children the truth of God, of who God is, and God's love for his whole world. Anybody who's not yet doing this and not yet involved in sponsoring a child, if it's something that you'd like to do, I'll explain a little bit more about how you can get involved later on. But what I want to focus on first of all, as I've said, is the truth of who God is. You know, what is God like? And how much does what we believe about God impact our lives? So what's your God like this morning? All the things we've been singing about, I guess. Anybody want to throw out what God's like? He's compassionate. That's a very good guess. Yes. Sorry. Amen. Amen. A waymaker. Yes. Anybody else? Come on. What's your God like? He's great. Anybody else?
Honest.
He's honest. Faithful.
True.
True. Absolutely. I'll stop you there, shall I? Otherwise, we might be here quite a long time. Themes of God's love and his goodness and his compassion are great biblical themes that run all the way through the Bible, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. You know, this is the truth of God, of who God is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what I want us to think about this morning, as I've said, is how much actually believing that truth impacts our lives.
Yeah.
And impacts the lives of people around us. Does it actually impact anybody? I hope it does. Compassion, for those of you who don't know, just a quick introduction, is an organisation, child development organisation, doing some amazing work around the world to help some of the world's very poorest children, help make the world a better place. We do this through churches in some very, very poor places, and supported by people like us, people like you, sponsoring children. And that's providing financial support for a desperately needy child and also relational support. We're currently supporting 2 million children around the world. 2 million children.
Wow.
Last time I was here, I can't remember when it was, I said it was 1.8 million children. You know, that's a huge increase,
wow,
isn't it? Absolutely. Praise God for that. And showing these children the love of God. Amazing thing that you're doing. Reason that we do what we do, I've got so many bits and pieces to deal with here. Just a reminder of the reason that we do what we do. Around the world today, there's nearly 1 billion people living in extreme poverty. This is the official definition of extreme poverty. The level set for extreme poverty is people who are living on $1.90 a day or less. Probably about £1.50 a day. Many people living on even less than that. But when we're talking about numbers and statistics and definitions, it's easy to depersonalize what it's like for people living in extreme poverty. These are real people, just like us, who, because of where they happen to have been born, live in absolutely dire circumstances, for whom life is just a complete struggle to survive. Extreme poverty isn't just a lack of stuff, although it most definitely is that. It's a lack of hope for people. 400 million children nearly in the world today born into these circumstances and living in these circumstances. Real children who don't even get the basics. They're exposed to all kinds of abuse and neglect and exploitation. They don't get medicines and healthcare and immunizations, so they're sickly most of the time, they don't get enough food. because their parents can't afford to buy them food, so they're malnourished. It means they don't develop properly, either physically or mentally. So they'll be stunted, both physically and mentally. The parents can't even afford the basics. They certainly can't afford to send them to school. So these children get no education, or very little education. No hope of ever having a better life and breaking out of the circumstances that they're born into. Real people, just like us, who just happen to have been born where they were born. It's wrong, isn't it? How do you feel about that this morning? Are you sad? Sympathetic? I heard Danielle Strickland speak at a conference recently. I don't know if you know Danielle Strickland. She's a Salvation Army major, I think from Canada. She's quite ferocious for somebody in the Salvation Army. And she was banging a fist on the lectern and saying that she's angry and she's outraged at the injustice in the world. Anybody else feel like that this morning? Do we even care? Do we even care about the injustice in the world this morning? Do you think as Christians we should be caring?
Yes.
Of course we should. I'm not telling you anything you don't know here. The Bible's full of this stuff. As Christians, we're not meant to be putting up with the status quo, like this is okay, because it's not okay. We're called to love God. We're called to love our neighbour, and that means putting his love into action, doing something to change the world, to bring in God's kingdom as he intends it to be. I think we all agree that this is what the Bible says, don't we? Anybody disagree? And it's all very well and good in theory, but actually what can we do? Can we actually make a difference? Can we change the world at all? What do you think?
One child at a time,
brother. Let me ask you a question. I've told you there's nearly 1 billion people in the world today living in extreme poverty. Do you think these statistics of extreme poverty in the world are going up? Do you think they're going down? Or do you think they're about level? Put your hand up if you think they're going up. Put your hand up if you think they're going down. Nobody. Put your hand up if you're going to sit on the fence and think they're about staying the same. What would you think if I told you that the number of people living in extreme poverty has halved in the last 20 years? Primarily because of international efforts like the Millennium Development Goals and the Sustainable Development Goals, work by non-governmental organisations, including big Christian NGOs like Compassion, like World Vision, like Tear Fund, like Christian Aid, and any number of smaller organisations that you might well be supporting. It is all working. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
Yes.
Do you know most people are surprised by this statistic? We believe in God, right?
Yeah.
I have to wonder what your God's like. God isn't a God, you don't need me telling you this, but sometimes we need to be reminded. God isn't a God of lack, of hardship, of injustice and poverty. God is a God of love, of abundance, of provision, of life. Amen? Throughout the Bible, we read that God is good, that he's just, he's righteous, he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's abounding in love. I could have chosen any number of Bible verses to show you this. He created a perfect world, fairness, justice, hope for everybody. This is the truth of who God is. Do we believe this?
Yes.
Your answers just crack me up, Steve. You have such passion. Such passion. I'm so glad. In fact, I think you should come round to every church that I go to and give really vocal answers. It's absolutely fantastic. The truth of who God is. You know, God's in the business of creation and restoration. He sent Jesus to restore all people to him, if we choose to believe that, and to restore the world to how it's meant to be. And we, you and me, followers of Jesus, his disciples, we're not just called, we're empowered to be world changers. That's our role. isn't it? Follow Jesus and you can change the world. Do we believe it?
Yes.
We know all this stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, but do we believe God's word and his promises for us and for his world are true? Do we actually believe it? And if not, why not? Famous words here from Jesus in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I'm going to read it out in its context for you. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Very truly I tell you, says Jesus. Very truly I tell you, like we're not going to believe this or something. Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep listen to his voice. His sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Moving on to verse 7. Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, like we're not going to believe it or something, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I don't know about what full life means for you. I think it certainly means new life, an eternal life in Jesus, but I also think that it means abundant life for us now as Christians, trusting God, believing in him, listening to his voice, living fully and freely as his children. Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Be careful. The thief, the devil, would seek to steal that away from us. Whispering lies, tempting us to doubt and disbelieve God's goodness. Anybody else ever experienced that? It all started with Eve. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, it all started with Eve in the Garden of Eden with the snake and the apple. In that moment, Satan persuaded Eve to believe that she would have a better, fuller life doubting and disbelieving God than she would by trusting and obeying him. It would never happen to us now, would it? The challenge for us today is, who do we believe? Whose voice do we listen to? And how does this motivate what we do and what we don't do? Do we believe God's promises over our lives and over our world, or do we believe the devil's lies? Extreme poverty isn't what God intended for the world. It's a lie. Extreme poverty is a thief that robs children, real children, of the full life that God intended for them. Robs them of any chance at all of fulfilling their God-given potential. Takes away even the basics. Robs them of any dreams, any chance, any hope of a better life. It robs children of any hope at all. But there is hope, isn't there?
Yeah.
Who is the hope of the world?
Jesus
is the hope of the world. And who is the body through which he speaks and acts and fulfills his purposes and fills everywhere with his presence? The church. The church, you know, isn't somebody else. Church is you and me, us. We, the body of Christ, are the hope of the world because he is the hope of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Do we believe this
yes.
morning? Compassion works through churches in some of the world's very poorest country to restore hope to some of the world's poorest children. It's not compassion changing the world. It's the worldwide church transforming lives in the name of Jesus and with his love. And Compassion isn't an aid organisation, we're a development organisation. Through church-based compassion programmes, children receive everything that they need to have a life free of poverty. A whole package of skills and opportunities and love and care and concern that transforms their lives and enables them to step into a brighter future. And that's what you're doing. Your support for the children that you're helping in Rwanda provides these children with certainly the hope of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. All children are taught the gospel. They'll get access to education. Plus, all of the books and the school supplies and the clothes and the shoes that they need to go to school, and then further education if they're bright enough to go on to further education. All children are taught vocational skills. Things like carpentry and hairdressing and dressmaking and bead making, a whole load of stuff that gives these children a chance to have a business, an opportunity to have an income and support their family as they grow older. They receive supplementary food. They receive all their medicines and healthcare and all that kind of thing that helps these children to have a life free of poverty. Do you know it really works? It really, really works. Like I say, it's not aid. It's complete development. All of this is funded by people here sponsoring children. Compassion enables normal people. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Stephen. Compassion enables normal people. You just happen to catch my eye. Like you, I'll point to you. Like you and like me, sponsoring children. It costs just £25 a month to sponsor a child. It's just over £5 a week to fund a child's entire development. Those of you who are sponsoring, your financial input into these children's lives and your personal relational input into these children's lives doesn't just help them a bit. It radically, radically transforms their lives and their future. It really, really does. You know, and as a sponsor, you're not just paying a monthly amount to help your child get all this stuff. You have the opportunity to be personally involved in the life of the child that you sponsor, building a relationship with them, praying for them, getting to know them, encouraging them to achieve their dreams and to work hard at school, encouraging them to grow into good, godly young men and women, and watching them as they grow up and develop. It's the most amazing privilege, isn't it? Those of you who are sponsoring children, are you writing to your children? So important. You know, they love to receive your letters. You matter and mean so much to the child that you sponsor. It enables us to show these children the truth of God's love. In reality, we show them who God is, God himself. I heard the story of a little boy being sponsored in Nicaragua, and he said that he didn't find it difficult to understand that a God who he couldn't see loved him, because he had a sponsor on the other side of the world and he knew that his sponsor loved him. Isn't that amazing? Don't believe the lie, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't change the world. We can change the world. We can all change the world for one child. I think I probably told you the last time that I was here that for a long period in my Christian life, none of this ever crossed my mind. I was a good Christian girl, going to church, doing all the right things, but actually not really doing anything. I guess going through the motions, you'd say. And not exactly living a lie, but certainly not living God's full truth. And God challenged me about this, drew me to compassion, and I started sponsoring this little girl here in Haiti. I won't go into any details about that, but just to say, what I've found, as I've had the privilege of being involved in relationship with my sponsored children, is that it hasn't just changed their lives, it has changed her life. You know, she's now a nurse. It radically transformed her life. But as I've had the privilege of being involved in that and making that difference in her life, God's changed my life as well. Completely changed my perspective on life. You know, and it's made a profound, profound difference in how I see my life, how I see my possessions, even in my faith itself. You know, what I've worked out as I've been involved in doing this is that all this stuff that we read in the Bible, all God's goodness, his truth, his promises are true. Actually, and if I live them out, I will see that truth for myself in what I'm doing for other people. Does that make sense? Something else that I've worked out as well. I find it a bit embarrassing when I tell people this, but I used to think that if I was giving to people in need and sharing what I have, that that was some sort of hardship and some sort of duty, and God was testing me, and I was never going to pass that test. You know, that if I was giving my money, okay, to somebody in need, no matter how needy they were, and no matter how clear the Bible is that I'm meant to do something about it, that I was going to lose out. Anybody else ever feel like that? Is it true that we lose out when we give to somebody else? Is it true? Who is it who tells us this stuff? It's a lie. The more we give, the more we get. Let me hear you say that. The more we give, the more we get. And again. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, we get it, not just for now, we get it for eternity. This is what the Bible says. Looking out for other people, sharing what we have, is what it means to know God. Draws us closer to him, because this is who he is. Do we believe this?
Yes, we do.
We do believe it. And Jesus says, famous passage here, when you give food to somebody who's hungry and in need, Jesus says, you give it to me. When you give clothes to somebody naked, you're doing it for me. Jesus says, when you give water to somebody who's thirsty, you're doing it for me, Jesus. I really believe that as we step out and do stuff for people in need, we're doing it for Jesus himself. It draws us closer to Jesus. Because this is what he says. You can't get any closer to Jesus than meeting the needs of other people. Just over a year ago, I think it was just after the last time I'd been here, I went to Kenya, and I was sitting next to a young man at dinner one night. He was a formerly sponsored child, and he was currently training to be an accountant. Even though he was still a student, he'd set up a charity to help young men on the streets, street children in Nairobi, to ensure that these young men had clothes and food and that they got showers. And he said to me, this was just a normal over dinner conversation, okay? He said to me, these young men think that I'm rich because I'm helping them. He said, you don't have to be rich to help other people. You just have to be willing to share what you have. And he went on. Honestly, I wish I'd never met this bloke. He said, if I have two pairs of trousers, I don't need two pairs of trousers. I can give a pair away. If I have two pairs of shoes, I don't need two pairs of shoes. I can give a pair away. And then he kept going. And he said, on a night, I could eat rice and meat and vegetables for my dinner. He said, but I don't. I eat rice and vegetables, sometimes just rice, so that I can afford to feed these young men on the street. Do you think that this young man actually believed God's word and his promises, and that he allowed those promises to impact how he lived his life? Do you think that? Makes you really uncomfortable, doesn't it? And it's challenged me to the absolute core. But what if we were all more like that? What if all of us, followers of Jesus, were even a little bit more like that, a little bit more willing to share even just a bit of what we have. God, you know, is quite capable of changing the world without us. Do you believe that? I believe it's true. But I believe that he invites us on a daily basis to partner with him to change the world. Not because he needs us to, but because in doing so it draws us closer to him and we become the people that he intends us to be. And we will see him change the world, both in us and through us, because that's what he says. Many things that we can do to share what we have, to live our lives according to God's truths and his promises. It's what you're doing by sponsoring children as a church. You know, and as a church, you should be so chuffed at the difference that you're making in the world. You're not just feeling sorry for this group of children in your partner church in Rwanda. You have stepped up to be part of the solution for those children. You know, and by impacting those children's lives, you're impacting a whole generation, a whole community. If anybody's not already involved in doing this and would like to get involved, I have a little group of children here waiting for sponsors. They're all being helped by your partner church in Rwanda, and are available for somebody to say, actually, I can spare a fiver a week to help you have a better life than the life that God intended for you. I'll introduce you to just a couple of them. Can't pronounce her name. 7 years old, and just a normal little girl. The circumstances that all these children live in, by the way, in the area of Rwanda that you're sponsoring children, very, very poor. The income of people can find work, and they'll be working as day labourers or subsistence farmers, will be about £10 a month. They live in houses with dirt floors and tin corrugated iron roofs and sides. It'd be a one-roomed house that these children live in. Won't have toilets, bathrooms, running water. There won't be an awful lot in their houses. The regional diet where they live is beans, cassava, maize and potato. And this little girl and the other children like her will get one meal a day if her parents happen to find work that day, and if they don't, then she'll go hungry. But for all of these children, this little girl, she has no hope in life, no hope of getting a decent education, no hope of having a decent future. Is this what God intended for this little girl? No, it's not, is it? You know, we can help change that for these children. That's what you're doing for the children that you're sponsoring. This little boy, bless him. You'll see both of these children have got distended tummies. That means that they're not getting enough food. But this little boy, without help, again, he has no hope for the future, no hope of getting a decent job, of being able to support his family. You know, he'll be one of the many men that you see in poor places in Africa just listlessly hanging around. You know, he'll maybe have fathered, I don't know how many children by the time he's 20, and he'll be just moved on to something else. Is that what God intends for this little boy? No, it's not, you know. And we can help change his future. You know, together we can change the world because this is how God intends it to be. And he calls us, you and me, to be part of the solution. And all these little children waiting for sponsors today, if God's calling you to change one of their lives, then come and talk to me after the service. I'll be more than happy to give you information about how you can do that. We're just going to watch another very quick video. If you can get that going for me, please, Paul. Thank you. This is the difference that you're making.
My sponsor had a great impact on me, on my development, because every time I go to school, every time I do something, I always think of them and I always make them proud. things I always want to make my parents proud too, but there's another set of parents that I consider that I don't want to disappoint them.
I see my sponsors, Betty and Lloyd, as my family. Of course, that's how they treated me. They treated me as one of their sons.
The first person that helped me believe that I could be a leader was my sponsor, who wrote me that letter and told me that they believed in me. And I thought to myself, if they believed in me and I was going to become somebody, it's true, I can actually become that somebody.
And they always encouraged me just to be a good student, a good daughter, and just to keep learning as much as I could, because even though I had my thoughts that maybe I would not be able to do much because I didn't have the resources, but they always put those words in my heart that I will have just a trust in God, that He will open doors for me.
I am what I am today because of a stranger willing to invest in my life and show me the love of Christ and pray for me and encourage me each step of the way.
Awesome, isn't it? So that's the difference that you guys are making in the lives of the children that you're sponsoring. And if any of you would like to change the life of a child, if you're not doing so already, or indeed another child, if you are already sponsoring a child, there's absolutely no limit on the number of children that you can sponsor. But you are giving your sponsored children hope of a different future and a different life to what they would otherwise have. You're giving them a choice and a chance in life. I don't know what your sponsored children want to be. Like you know, one of my child in Haiti, she's now a nurse. Two of my sponsored children are currently at university. One of the others, I sponsor quite a lot of children, one of the others is wanting to be a glass blower. I don't know where he's learning to do that. But anyway, it almost doesn't matter what these children want to be. The fact is that they're thinking ahead. They're thinking ahead to a future, a good, bright future that they wouldn't otherwise have. Just because I made a choice to get involved and help them and can enable them to have that. And, you know, it's our choice, really. You know, if we do it, we will change their world. If we don't do it, well, you know, we don't do it. And who's, you know, who is going to change the world? But we are the hope of the world for these children, and it's a fabulous, fabulous thing that you're doing. And I encourage you so much in your relationships with your sponsored children. Invest in those children, invest in their lives, invest words of love and hope and encouragement. Poverty tells children you're hopeless, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything. We can tell them otherwise, because that otherwise is what God intends for His children and for His world. So come and have a chat with me after the service. If you'd like to sponsor a child, come and have a chat with me anyway. I hate it when people just walk past me because they don't want to sponsor a child. Come and have a chat with me anyway. It's always nice to speak to you. God bless you. Thank you so much.